You can see that basically that it lights up, right, with the expired thing. It is basically, you know, shaped by the label itself. So the light source behind it is a little bit bigger. A light source is not only, you know, transforming a feeling, but it is at the same time also altering the environment. When we started doing this smart packaging approach, we just realized that all smart packaging applications, they don't really look nice. It's just a product that, you know, if there wouldn't be light inside, you wouldn't buy that product.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. We have Marcin from Inuro. Inuro is a company that is doing lighting and packaging, and you guys have done some really cool projects. So Marcin, if you can give us just a quick 1 minute, how did you land in the position that you're doing today?
Oh, 1 minute to tell the whole story. Okay, let me try to. So let's keep it short, right? So the vision behind the company is to basically create packaging that instead of a printed surface has a dynamic surface like a display on top of that. Right. And the idea behind that is when I have a dynamic surface on a packaging, I can actually make it reusable because, you know, I can rewash it. I can, you know, put any other content inside of that and then basically use it for new product. And then if I want to change the surface, I just click it and I upload it. Right. That's the overall idea behind that. So to get there, one needs super cheap and a super robust display technology. And this is how we started working on OLED technology, which is a paper film display and lighting technology, which happens also to be recyclable 11 years ago. And what we started doing is we started simplifying the production process to actually make it affordable. Because what you know so far about OLEDs is they're used in smartphone and TV displays, but they never stepped out of that despite the perfect features that they exhibit, right? Which is being paper thin, bright, and recyclable. But they have been so difficult to manufacture that, you know, it was economically unfeasible to get them anywhere else than into packaging and displays. And this is what we do. We make low-cost OLEDs.
Wow. And then, Marcin, where did you get started? How did you go down this path of OLED on packaging? What did you do before this?
Before I did that, I actually had multiple companies. I started my career as a building cleaner. And then I had, you know, an own company that was offering cleaning services. So we've been basically cleaning, you know, retail buildings, offices, and also private homes. And then I was going from that after some financial issues, you know, with the crisis in 2008 and 2009. We've been then going, you know, to expand those services, and we've been then focusing on more technical, you know, solutions for cleaning. So I have some, let's say, entrepreneurial background before that.
Excellent. All right. And that's what it takes, right? You have to be an entrepreneur in order to stick with this product for this long, and you're essentially building a category, right? So you have to start from scratch where there's not a lot of people that are doing video in packaging. We've seen the boxes that open up and then they have like a actual display screen inside and it plays a video, but that's not what we're talking about. What you were talking about is you've got lights in packaging. And I think you just showed me an example. It looked like something that lights up and tells you if it's expired. There's so many applications for this.
Correct. So maybe I'm going to explain how do we come from displays to light, right? Because OLED itself is a lighting source. And if you are able to control the way how you manufacture this lighting source, right, in any shape and any color, you're basically able to, you know, either illuminate something that is as big as a logo or as small as a pixel, right? And if you can manufacture multiple pixels next to each other, you get towards a display. And this is really hard. This is basically, you know, the highest level of creating an OLED, right? And this is why we start with products like this here, right? Which is basically a label that lights up, right? You push it here, it lights up, and as you can see, it's paper thin. It's bendable, so I can then basically bend it and apply it on the packaging.
Oh, I'm sorry, what is lighting up
so
on
here,
that?
So here it's the Kitea logo, right? So I have a strong light here. You can see it's better like that, right?
Wow,
so,
yeah.
The overall idea is it's a champagne product. You put it on a bottle, and then basically while you pour the champagne on a special occasion, it underlines, you know, this special occasion and gives the moment a certain type of elegance, right? You know, because packaging is all about, you know, communicating the feeling in that moment to the user, right? Who's basically using it. And in the end, it's the end consumer. And these applications, they just help us right now to get the product to the market and make it just, you know, more reliable to be ready for the next win, which is then, for example, medication or food techs, right?
Okay. So then can you give us an overview of how the light is integrated into the packaging? All right, let's take a quick second to talk about idpdirect.com. Go right to that website, download the design guides, the sustainability guides, the recyclable icon guide, which basically lists out all the different icons. It gives them to you in vectors. You can drop them right into your artwork right now, today, and go right into production. All right, back to the pod. Just from a quick technical aspect, like how are we putting lights in here? Like how thick is it? You know, what's powering this? Who can print this? Is it just Anuro that can make these?
So in terms of printing the OLED, right, the light source itself, we are currently the only company that's capable of doing that. And the rest then basically is what we called ELF. It's an embeddable luminous film. So what it means is you take the OLED, you print some wires, and you put the OLED on those wires together with some batteries, with some sensors inside, right? And then you have a film that you can basically embed into any surface, right? And this film then can be, you know, printed on top of that like this, right? So basically you structure the light source with basically with the print on top of that, and then you have a ready solution. And of course you can take this ready solution and applying onto a folding box, you know, or like we did it the last time, you know, into a board game, right, where you have basically a board game integration. When I touch over here, then, you know, this also starts to light up, right? So it's the same type of, let's say, integration. It's basically a paper film, a light source, which you can somehow integrate into a product very easily, right? And this is the difference between what you've, I think, mentioned in the beginning is, so far, if you look at the electronics, people always try to integrate them, and they were this bulky, chunky type of things where we tried to fit square packs into rounded holes, right? Where we said, let's take conventional electronics and make them fit into the world of packaging. And this is not an easy task because packaging does so much more than just being a container.
Yeah. No, I remember the first time I used lights in packaging was for a company called Barney's New York. And it was a box and you open it and there's a mirror in the back. And then there was a one-way mirror on the other side so you can see through, and there was light, so it created this infinity tunnel of lights.
Wow.
And it was gorgeous. I loved it. But when we start figuring out how many batteries it's going to require to power this thing, because the customer wants it to light up for a really long time, and you start putting batteries in there, all of a sudden you start adding weight, and the cost to ship and store something that weighs so much, you know, there's a balance between, okay, how many batteries can we put in and how long will this actually last? There's a lot of challenges. And then that was actually using wires. It wasn't printing. It was actually, you know, lights and wires, and it gets really complex. And there's a lot of issues with the electronics, shipping, dropping, you know, all those different things that can happen, where it becomes more of a product and less of packaging. But it looks like what you're doing, because you're printing everything, it's less focus on the worry that, okay, this may or may not work, or this can drop and be damaged. Because I saw that you also did the Coke with the lightsabers, right? And if you're able to print on Coke, that if you're able to do that, I mean, this product is being shipped and dropped and picked up and opened and handled. There's less worry about this not working. Now it's mass producible, where there's less errors potentially.
I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned this part of, you know, the problem, because that's exactly one thing that, you know, drives, you know, us nuts, that we try to, let's say, improve all the time's reliability. Right? Conventional electronics, they not only require a lot of space and then, you know, make the products thicker and weigh more. We have CO2, we have energy, we have additional materials, but they also, you know, need to be reliable, right? And then the packaging supply chain is not the easiest thing to accomplish. Right? As you said, we don't really care about our packaging. We don't even, you know, think too much about it, you know, during our normal daily routine, because it is such a mundane object, right? And then yet so often overlooked that we just treat it, you know, like, you know, it would sustain everything. And that's okay. But if you put electronics inside, that's a different ballgame. Because we all know when our iPhone drops, we all have this moment of, you know, being afraid.
Yeah.
This is not allowed to happen here. Yeah, it needs to work all the time. And this is why we are actually really starting with the luxury field here, because so customers come to us and they ask us, okay, hey, we have now these LED solutions in place for our products, right? They're super thick. They add so much weight into that. And they're not really, you know, eco-friendly. Can you give us a better alternative solution? And we say, yeah, we have that, right? And by already, you know, improving their products, we are learning, as you said, delivering Coca-Cola with the lightsabers and other products to the market, how to improve the reliability that they survive throughout the whole supply chain. Because in the marketing environment, if you, for example, let's take your box, you open up your box, you don't have the light effect, you know, it's sad, right? You can expect that, right? You paid for that. It's not happening. It's sad. But now let's imagine you have a medical product, and the medical product should warn you how to use your diabetes pen, and it is not doing that. So you use the pen in the wrong way. That's potentially life-threatening. And this is why reliable electronics are so important. And this is why we learned to scale it today, those applications that we're just talking about.
That's a huge point. If my box doesn't work, it is. It's a little sad, but if we're doing this in a medical application and it doesn't work, then it could potentially be deadly. And that's something I think most packaging designers don't have to deal with a lot of times, unless you're in medical packaging, right? But even then, thinking back to some medical packaging where it was for knee replacements and the company was saying, hey, we're having a hard time. The right knee and the left knee look exactly the same. And if the doctor opens up the right knee, but he's actually operating on the left knee, they'll close that, they'll throw that box away. And then the customer is charged for the right knee and the left knee, because it's not the doctor's fault. Yeah, there's a lot of application in medical. So besides, we talked about medical, we talked about Coke. What are you working on today that's going to add lights to packaging?
If you look at packaging, right, we are always, you know, looking into the unboxing experience. So basically, you know, figuring out if you get, you know, a more complex device, how can this device be explained while you open your box? There are so many complex devices that you need to, you know, utilize pretty quickly. And some of them are, again, medical, you know, devices. And there it makes, you know, a lot of sense, right? So that you explain them better. On the other hand side is, you know, when we will be able to deliver our timers to the medical industry, we want to expand these into best before date tags. So here's the story. Imagine, you know, you have your food in your fridge, and then before it starts to expire, right, your label starts to light up and tells you, hey, I'm expired, right? I'm close to expiry date. So you're more prone to take this product and consume it today instead of throwing it away, because you have a financial incentive of doing that, right? But not only you, but also the store, the retail store, has the same incentive that he has a label like that, because it warns, you know, the consumer in the store that, hey, I'm, you know, close to expiry date. If you buy me right now, I'm 50% off, right? Or something like that. Right. So we can reduce the waste throughout the whole, you know, supply chain, and even, you know, in the chain delivery, you know, do that. So that's also one product we are working on. But to get there, we need to start to get onto, you know, scale with our existing solutions. Then aside from that, we are working on, you know, or let's say with all companies that try or want to integrate electronics into their products and use existing solutions today, right? So basically, it was exactly the same thing with the game, which you can buy today at any Walmart. And they tried to use conventional LED solutions, and they just figured out with our solutions, they will, you know, save so much more materials, right? And so they went basically the way with us, which, you know, today, you know, I bet a complete novelty, just to make sure to provide a better solution for the consumers, right? And aside from that, something which is not related to packaging, we are including this right now into clothing. So okay. The whole thing is about increasing visibility of people, you know, that go to school, to work, and actually even people at work, right? There's a tremendous amount of, you know, accidents happening because due to a lack of visibility of people that are working on the street. And since, you know, our solutions have been tested in the packaging supply chain, basically applied from roll to roll, you know, heat, cold, bean washed and stuff like this, ice cooling test, we just figured out, okay, maybe we can also make them washable. And it did work out in the end, right? So this is why we are already speaking with, you know, big clothing manufacturers to integrate the same solutions there.
There's a designer called Anya Heinmark, and she did like a whole collection a few years ago, which was like workwear, but it was fashion. And it just had like these strips of reflective, you know, she incorporated a lot of reflectiveness into it. I mean, this would be the perfect, that'd be the perfect brand to reach out to right now. You talked about like, you talked about batteries, but we saw that label, it's super thin. You know, we think about the Coke bottle, you know, it's like just paper thin label on there. What kind of batteries are going in this thing? And you said it's like reusable. So do I have to replace the batteries after a certain amount of time, or how long does this last?
The single use products that we use, they have disposable batteries.
Okay.
Right. So there's a big, you know, difference between a lithium ion battery and the lithium metal battery. Lithium ion is the stuff that we have in our smartphones typically. That's the stuff that you can recharge. That's the stuff that burns, you know, when you short circuit it, right? But it's also the stuff that is super hard to recycle. If you then take a look at lithium metal batteries, they don't have this heavy ions inside them anymore. So we typically use either lithium metal batteries or zinc manganese batteries. These are this type of batteries that are, you know, considered to be disposable. Why are they considered to be disposable? Because if you put them into recycling process and the recycler decides, okay, he doesn't want to recycle them, or he doesn't have the capacity to do that, he can just, you know, shred them, burn them, and no toxic residue stays, you know, in the recycling process. Right. And then, and that's the most important thing for us, in which direction we always have been looking at. Okay. How can we create a label that, you know, just requires exactly then a battery solution that's as thin as this, that you can put into a label, that you don't have these bulky battery packs behind that, where you just, you know, add so much more waste and stuff into that, that's just not necessary.
And if that label's on a bottle, you're not recycling the label, right? You're recycling the bottle. That's where the value in the material is in the glass or the plastic. So then in that process of recycling that bottle or that glass, that label is going to get burnt off. It's going to be separated. It's going to be shredded. That's where you're saying it's recyclable. It's not necessarily that the metal and the label and everything else is recyclable, is that it works. It actually just works in the recycling process. Am I correct in that?
Exactly. This is how we define the whole recyclability of the product. The whole product itself, when you have our technology inside, is recyclable because you recycle the recycling target, which, let's say, can either be a glass bottle or a paper-based packaging, right? And we have proven this with the third party, whether the recyclability is there. Then it really depends on the recycling plant. So the label is safe. They could recycle it too. You know, most recycling plants, when we speak with them, they say, okay, we do have the capability to do that. We've been preparing, for example, for the RFID market, for the NFC market, but it's not big enough of a business for us to get the materials back. So when the market will come and we have more applications, they will definitely, you know, look into that and recycle this, because there's money behind that, right?
All right. So when it comes to technology, every technology has some limits and some challenges. So what are limitations that a designer has to consider when working with lights and packaging? If finding your spec data is a wild goose chase around your office, you've got a data problem. Specrite is the only cloud-based management specification solution that every brand needs. Because if you don't spec right, you'll spec wrong. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome those obstacles? What are the obstacles, and how do you overcome those obstacles?
Until today, the biggest obstacles that we had is that we were really, really limited in the size of the light source itself, because our initial processes, they were just, you know, they were super small substrates, and our printing heads, they were unable to print, you know, larger sizes. Now we can, you know, nearly print any size and any shape. And with four basic colors, which is red, green, blue, and white. And the first limitation comes that you can't print these shapes until the edge, right? So each OLED basically, it always requires, you know, a space between the edge of the label where it lights up and basically where the light starts. So that's number one, you know, limitation. The second limitation then, of course, comes from the fact that, you know, we just have these four colors, We can give you any other color, but then we take a white OLED and we put a filter on top of that, which in the end means is the light is not so pristine anymore. And OLED itself, if you look inside this, the light is really magical. It looks like you could, you know, stare into the sun, but without being blinded. It's really like that. It's crazy. This is why I fell in love with this technology, you know, for the first time. But when you put a filter on top of that, it still is bright, but it's much more dull. You know, it loses a lot of its magic grip, right? And then this is why we at the Nuru, you know, we always try to work with the basic colors to make it better. So these are basically the two limitations that we have, right? You can't go to the border and you can't really, you know, have this super pristine light effect for all colors. So if somebody comes in and he wants to have a Pantone, I don't know, you know, light blue and stuff like this, it's really difficult to achieve that.
What are the four colors of light?
It's red, green, blue, right? So basically the three display colors and white.
That's the focus. And then anything outside of that spectrum still works. It's just going to have a little bit less of a impact.
Exactly. It just looks a little bit more dull, right, than this pristine light source itself. So you put filter on the white OLED.
And then from a design standpoint, that may be something I'm looking for, right? So I may want a red, green, blue that's really sharp and stands out. And then I can put a different color that has a filter over the white next to it so that I can get some contrast between these different colors and try to make something that has a little bit more depth and can tell a little bit of a different story. So it's a limitation, but I think as a designer, you can work around that and really create something special. I'm not technical. So when you're talking about this OLED technology that's printing, right, it's paper thin. When we look at that expired label, that was pretty big, bold text. How are we getting light into that shape?
Today, we are really printing those letters. So it is not like it's a display where you can change the content dynamically, but it's really a pre-printed light source. And then we can still shape the light source by printing color on top of that. So basically what we are doing is we are printing a mask. You have a light source, you have all the electronical backend, and on top with the printing and the graphics design, you're giving it the right shape that you want to have it. Right now, see it on a camera here, but you can see that basically that, you know, it lights up, right, with the expired thing, but it is basically, you know, shaped by the label itself. So the light source behind it is a little bit bigger, but we still, you know, print this in the shape that you want to have that, but you can't change the shape afterwards. The only thing that you can do is, for example, you can make multiple shapes next to each other and say, okay, when this happens, shape number one lights up. When this happens, shape number two lights up, right? So, for example, if you want to, you know, show a tamper evidence solution for a customer, we tell them, okay, if, you know, the product is okay, I'm taking it into my hand, and then a green element lights up. If it's get tampered in between, a red element lights up, you know. If the packaging is not knowing what's going on, an orange element lights up and says, okay, maybe you want to reconsider this packaging, right? We don't know what's happening with that.
So once I produce these and they're produced and the light is red, am I able to change that light to green afterwards, or it's red and it's red?
If it's red, it's red, right? So okay. The same light source right now, you can't change the color. This would be possible in the future. We are working on this right now. But we don't have that big of a market demand right now. People are more looking into the way how they can use this lighting label, so the surface lighting, as a canvas for basically, you know, breathing life into their creations, communicating more with feelings and emotions that the light source is providing, because it goes so far beyond what we know from printing and basically improving the product. It's crazy. A light source is not only, you know, transforming a feeling, but it is at the same time also altering the environment, right? It is throwing, you know, an ambient hue and a glow on whatever table it is sitting. And this is like really making like the effect much stronger. It is creating a sense of immersion, which allows you to communicate in a different way with your, you know, customers or with your end users. And this is exactly what our customers are looking into right now.
Yeah, I know for designers, we want to create this emotional unboxing, right? And we talk about the way it feels, the way that it feels in your hands in terms of the texture, the board weight, or the thickness of the glass or the thickness of the plastic. Like, you don't want something that's going to collapse and be flimsy. You want something sturdy. You know, the way that the lid on the bottle feels, like the ridges or texture, or do we have like facets? And we get really down to the detail of how those things work together. But light's not something that we ever really talk about, right? Because it's never been, it's always been super expensive. It's always been super complicated to actually get it to work. So how should we think about it? If I'm talking about a bottle, am I limited to the label? When I open it, then it lights up? Or can I print on the inside of a label so that when it turns on, it actually glows into the liquid versus out towards the consumer? Like what are the things that you've seen or you guys have tested that designers aren't looking at as a toolbox?
I mean, the easiest way how to imagine this technology is imagine it's a sticker with light, right? It's a little light tack. Wherever you think you have enough space for a sticker, you can put it in. If you think you have enough space, you know, inside the cap of a bottle, to if you unscrew something and then it lights up on the liquid, you can do it. You want to shine on the inside of the bottle, you can do it, right? And the most interesting thing is you can combine this light effect with any type of sensing that is right now out there on the market. It's all about the interaction first, right? So you open up your box, then it starts to light up, right? Mm-hmm. You can add a timer to this, so it lights up after a certain amount of time, right? And then it, you know, it can react to sound or to motion so that it, you know, always provides a certain type of interactivity which normal packaging cannot provide. I think this is the number one thing. So how do we want to interact with the consumer that he feels there's value behind that? From an emotional feeling type of state point, and then of course from a functional standpoint. But before we even talk about the light, if you allow, I would like to go back just one thing, right?
And yeah,
like
of course.
One level below that, because you said like, okay, one of the most important things is we are always going very deep down, you know, to be precise about how do we create these labels and stuff like that. And when we started doing this smart packaging approach, we just realized that all smart packaging applications, they don't really look nice. You know, you don't have these, you know, hot stamping effects. You don't have, you know, this metal particles. You have no soft touch, no 3D printing. It's just a product that, you know, if there wouldn't be light inside, you wouldn't buy that product. Mm-hmm. And we believe that in order that a lighting label, it needs to look good when the light is off. It needs to be a product that is desirable from the very beginning when I'm looking at that. And I think this is one of the most important thing that we managed to achieve is when we pitched it, for example, to Cartier, to our customer, they were like really pushing on that. They say, okay, you know, if our consumers don't see the light effect, they should say that's a beautiful bottle because our brand is jeopardized by that. And this is what we have achieved. We have achieved a label where, you know, designers basically have their typical tool set at hand, how they can design a label.
As you're talking, I'm just thinking like, where can I apply light in my packaging, right? You know, if I'm thinking of bottles, then you know, if you go to the club, you want bottle service. You're getting bottle service because you want people to look. So if you can have light, you know, right? During this experience, it's lighting up. People are drawing attention. If you're a kid, right? You have that application on the game, cereal packaging, like other like ways to get kids to interact with packaging, whether it becomes like part of a game, part of something you can collect. There's so many different ways that you can apply light to this, to different areas of packaging to create an interaction. You know, like you said, if you can do it like where it's a, if you do this, then this happens, then you can gamify the packaging. And it's especially critical for kids because today kids don't care about the packaging. When I was a kid, there were no cell phones. So you would sit there and you would read every word on the cereal box, right? You would read every word on the shampoo bottle, right?
Yes.
Today, kids don't even pay attention. So we can draw their eye to the packaging and, you know, get them to interact can be a win. But what are we looking at in terms of cost when it comes to applying lights to packaging? How much more is this? What do we need to consider? Are there issues with shipping, importing, exporting, things that we need to consider on applying lights to packaging?
So in terms of shipping, we have no issues at all, right? So we have been testing this throughout, you know, multiple campaigns with multiple customers. So the shipping is not a problem at all. It is basically, you know, a label with a light inside. And because there's an energy source inside that is inside equipment, there's no issue with shipping that. So that's a pretty straightforward thing. You can just even, you know, ship it with an airplane. In terms of cost, it really depends on how big the light source is and how complex the functionality is. So we are still in single digit dollars per label. So this is why luxury is the way to go right now. right? And let's say, you know, more expensive medication. But with our new production line that is basically launching right now as we sit here, we'll be able to drop these costs in the ranges of, you know, $1 per label, right? Depending on the volume and the complexity that we have. And if this production line, you know, turns out to work well, and we expect to get, you know, to very good economies of scale, because we are not talking scale at all today. It's just optimization, our new, you know, manufacturing process that drives down these costs here. We think that in the future we'll be able to offer a label like this for 5 cents. That's the potential of the technology. That's what we see from the materials perspective, right? But until we get there, we really need to make sure we understand the product better and know in which direction we should scale.
So it's like $1 per label. At some point in the future, you can see this getting to 5 cents. And you're talking, you're not quite at scale yet. So what kind of volumes does somebody need in order to start this? Like, what would be an MOQ for applying lights to labels?
So the beautiful thing about our tech is that we are printing these OLEDs with a digital printing process. So it's inkjet, basically, so we can start from volume one. The drawback here is we have some setup costs that, you know, we would need to then invoice in that case. But, you know, if you want to have, you know, 10 units or 100 units because of a special location, then typically the pricing doesn't really matter at all. But we can start at that. A good price to get, you know, into lower pricing areas is starting with, you know, 150,000 to 1 million labels, and then you can get, you know, to a nice pricing area and, you know, scale this on a much bigger scale.
All right. So then you're able to do that at scale today. You're able to do a million label run. Got it.
Yes.
In the production of this, you talk about the printing, right? You're printing the circuitry, you're printing the lights. Is there any manual labor involved in this entire process? The application of the batteries, like the sealing of the labels together, like, is it all automated, or is there a manual component to this?
So far what we have been doing is we have been basically automatically or semi-automatically producing the components, right? So basically battery, you know, switching mechanisms, circuits, and then putting them manually together. And this cost, you know, of course, some costs. Now we have automated the OLED manufacturing like entirely for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And we are also automating right now the assembly. So putting these things all together. By doing that, we will learn how to drive down costs significantly. Sure. So the only thing that in the end will be manually packing, cold packing, shipping these things out, getting these things onto pallets and stuff like that, right? And feeding the machines.
And then where are you producing these labels?
So far, we are producing them in Berlin and Germany.
All right. So when you say you're producing these in Berlin and Germany, then I'm picturing German production, right? I'm picturing super clean automated machines, right? I'm picturing like the way that a BMW is put together, right? Right. Like, we have this idea in the West of German production. So how big is your facility? How many machines do you have in there?
Okay, let me transfer this now to square feet. 9 square feet should be 1 square meter, right? We roughly have 3,000 square meters of facility, which is 27,000 square feet, if I'm not mistaken right now. My math sometimes is poor. And so it's quite a big facility. In terms of German engineering, I don't think that we are classifiable as a typical German engineering company. You know, we are rather more American in terms of the way how we are doing that. We are more in terms of, you know, experimentation, making sure these things work, and then basically, you know, scaling them with the first process that are possible. And there we are looking much more at the Chinese way of manufacturing, because the Chinese, they're super smart in scaling existing processes and putting them, you know, into perfection. And so we are trying to unify this both worlds of experimentation and scaling things quickly. And having said that, our production line somehow looks rather more like a Tesla facility, right? With all these robots and, you know, stuff like this going on there. And with a lot of chaos around this super clean manufacturing line. So, right, so you would see basically the best of both worlds. So, for example, what we have in our factory, and people don't understand that, we have a scrapyard in our factory. Right. Imagine, like, you know, Star Wars, where you have, you know, the scrapyards with all this, you know, broken, you know, spaceships, right?
Yeah.
We have like tons of old equipment, you know, standing there which, you know, our team just utilizes and scraps, you know, electronics out whenever they need them because we built our machinery by ourselves. It's much cheaper if you buy old equipment and just repurpose them instead of, you know, buying them new and, you know, also getting the know-how out, right? So that's the type of people that we have in our facilities. So let's say in our company, they're like true engineers by the heart, right? Like we call them engineering pirates, right?
That's great. Cause I've never really heard somebody from a production standpoint reference the differences, right? In terms of German engineering, American ingenuity, and then just the Chinese ability to scale. Each region has its own position in manufacturing, and being able to take the best of each is something a lot of people don't consider, right? They say, this is the way that we do it. And they don't look anywhere else to do things in a new way. Is there any certification that a brand is looking for in a label manufacturer that's incorporating lights that would be important to them?
So far, they look for the typical certifications like, you know, ROHS, REACH, all about the material compliance, mm-hmm. right? And then they talk with us about, you know, food diffusion, right? What about the diffusion into food? Is there mm-hmm. any problem? Same goes for tobacco. But we as a company, we strive to improve that in the future. So we are working right now on our ISO certification, mm-hmm. And we want to make it, you know, a typical ISO certification, but also we want to, you know, be classified as a medical device, you know, company in the future. And just to make sure that we can prove this reliability, because, you know, that's our promise to the users of our product. We need to fulfill that. So that's the certifications we're looking at. By producing light itself, there's not much of a standard which people really require from you, right? The technology that we are using is so novel that, you know, while shipping them in the past, we couldn't even find a category for that. Right. People were like, "Hey, what are you guys doing there?" And right. so we are printing like thin foils that light up. And so how can you classify these? I mean, they're not really displays. They're lighting panels. They're diodes. Okay, so classify them as diode, but it's a light-emitting diode, right? So this category really needed to be set up. So we are really at the edge of technology, what's going on right now. So I think those certifications and, let's say, norms, they will come into play very soon when this technology finds a larger market adaptation. But we are right now still in a very early stage and still, you know, very niche, despite all the brands, you know, now talking with us and really interested in launching that. We should be very cautious about, you know, now starting to over-protect, over-regulate something, right? It was never good for a market to overregulate something in the beginning, right? First of all, figure out how it works. Find the best applications. How can it help people? How can it make people be happy? As you said, it in the bottle parade, right? It's all about being seen. It's all about being fun. Let's don't forget the fun aspect of packaging, right? And products. We don't live only for purpose. We also live for fun. And then we figure out, you know, how to do that.
The first place I see me trying to work this in, because I definitely want to see lighting in some of my packaging, is influencer packaging. It's a limited run. It's a marketing budget, not a packaging budget, right? Where a marketing budget can absorb a dollar per label. You know, they're looking at maybe 20,000, 30,000 units to get out into the market, into influencers. People want this stuff photographed, shared, social media. So it kind of works together. Not every pack necessarily needs to have light, but if it's maybe your first run, your first launch, this is a great way to get started.
Yeah, thank you so much for that conversation so far. It was really great. It's our website, inuru.com, inuru.com. We have all the applications there. So you can get on the website, and then you can reach out to us. So our team is happy to get on the call with you, get you a demo, send you some samples. And one interesting thing is, because, you know, we had a lot of demand from people to interact closer with each other, because there's so many ideas, the way how we just said it, okay, influencer packaging, and I would do this, and I would like to do that. We will be launching our community soon. It will be a Discord community where people basically can interact on our technology. We'll help them basically how to, you know, create and experiment with the technology by themselves with DIY kits. So, you know, that, you know, everybody, you know, can be their own creator of their own product, and, you know, just have it a little bit more closer to them than what it is today, where we are always talking about that and producing all for themselves, just to empower the crowd and, you know, our customers and followers more, you know, to create these products.